Hello everybody, I'm George from Ireland. Thanks for coming back to my channel. This is about the Saint Scholastica's Day riot. Well, the anniversary was yesterday, I saw that, but I'm always behindhand on doing these things. But I thought I'd comment on that and perhaps do one in Oxford, where it actually occurred. So 10th of February 1355. Now Oxford University had existed in some form since the late 11th century, if you're going to say a centre of advanced teaching for adults. Men only, of course, until 1874. But they didn't use the word universitas until 1231. But there'd often been tension between town and gown. Gown as in the undergraduates, the dons, they wore academic gowns. And the townsfolk, those who lived in the town of Oxford, but were unconnected to the university. So the undergraduates, the dons, seemed to be haughty and whatever, and privileged, often upper class, but often they were monks or priests or seminarians and so on, because it was all run by the Catholic Church, the only Christian church allowed in England at the time. And of course, virtually everybody was a Christian of the Catholic denomination, a tiny Jewish community, including in Oxford. But anyway, some people resented the university, and the undergraduates, despite mostly being in holy orders, didn't always behave in a moral manner. And there have been many clashes before them. And one of them had led to people fleeing Oxford in the late 13th century to a swamp land to the east called Cambridge and established that. These religious houses, these orders of monks, the Cistercians, the Benedictines, Franciscans, whatever, Blackfriars, Greyfriars, and so forth, they're the ones who ran the different monasteries, which evolved into colleges. Anyhow, but our Saint Scholastica's Day riot famously comes from a wine being served at Swindlestock Tavern near Carfax, the main crossroads of the heart of Oxford. And an argument about this, the two undergraduates were chivying, were complaining to the taverner, and this resulted in a fight. So the townsfolk in that inn, as in place serving alcoholic drinks as well as having rooms to rent, they weighed in. And then there was this free-for-all, and the scrimmage spilled into the street, and more undergraduates piled in on their side. And wow, so what a melee! And this pub brawl turned into a 3-day pitched battle. So armed gangs marauding the street and so on. So local men from the countryside came in to assist the town of Oxford against the university. So the university halls, as in where the undergraduates lived. They're now colleges. They were ransacked. Some people were stabbed to death, even in their beds. It's claimed that some of the undergraduates were scalped and so on. Okay, so the town got the better of it. Only 20 of those men were killed, whereas 63 undergraduates and dons lost their lives. Anyway, so the university sent messengers to the king, and he heard these envoys, and he said completely took their side. So there've been lots of clashes going on since 1297, and more than a few murders. 1209 was the one where people fled to Cambridge. So King Edward III, he completely took the side of the university against the town. He sent soldiers to re-establish order and to protect the university. And of course, because the university was semi-independent of the state, because like as a church organization, there was from like before Henry II's time, Thomas Becket and all that, the right to claim sanctuary in the church or whatever, and the clergy couldn't be tried before the king's courts and so forth, and tried before ecclesiastical courts, and they were given the mildest punishments, like go and say some prayers or a discalced pilgrimage to wherever, even for a heinous felony. Anyway, so His Majesty commissioned judges to go there and declare oyer et termine, so an assize, a special court. They're going to hear the case and bring the case to an end. That's what it is. And don't they still say that in in American courts or in the US Congress, oyez, oyez, but more like to hear, yeah? But it's not, that's obviously medieval French. Anyway, so the university was given extended powers to control not just its own buildings and streets, but really the whole of the city. Even those who were not undergraduates or dons were under its jurisdiction. So the town had to pay a staggering sum of 500 marks. The mayor of the town and the bailiffs, who were a bit like law enforcement officers, they were arrested, detained in Marshalsea Prison in London, something which existed right up until the time of Charles Dickens, because his father was there. So the Bishop of Lincoln, under whose authority Oxford fell, John Gwinnell, he introduced an interdict, as in forbidding all churches from opening, except for funerals, marriages, and certain high holy days, and indeed christenings. So, because there's no Bishop of Oxford till the 16th century, so that was to punish them by denying them the a lot of the blessed sacraments. And in a very, very religious era, this was seen as a heavy penalty indeed. So the town was going to do penance every year on the anniversary of the riot. So the mayor, the bailiffs, and 60 burghers of the town were going to have to attend high mass at St. Mary the Virgin, the university church, which still stands, okay, to commemorate 60 undergraduates and dons who were killed. That's why 60 townsmen had to be there and had to pay a penny for each of those who were slain. And this continued every single year to 1825. And then in 1955, the 600th anniversary, that's when the university formally forgave the town and they gave an honorary degree to the mayor of the city. And in return, the vice chancellor of the university, he's the one who actually runs it, or it's a woman these days, who actually runs the university, not the chancellor, that's an honorary position. He was made a freeman of the city. Wow. So that was it. And that's why, so the undergraduates, some of them were actually laymen, but nevertheless, they're described as clerks. They had to follow some of the clerical practices, as if they were religious as in a noun, not an adjective, a tonsure, the special haircut, often like looking like a halo and so on. So only a minority of the undergraduates are monks, but many of them became monks or priests later on. Some of them were deacons, which is somewhere between being a layman and being religious. A deacon, he can do whatever his ordinary job is, but also has a role in the church, can't actually say mass and perform any sacraments, but I don't know, would he read aloud from the Bible or something like that, assist the priest in some ways. So that's what the Saint Scholastica's Day riot was all about. And we know those who were there. The names are recorded: Walter de Springhouse, Roger de Chesterfield, two clergy from southwestern England. And that's when they were arguing with John de Croydon, who was the taverner. All right. So about the wine wasn't good enough. So that's where de Chesterfield threw the wine at Mr. de Croydon, who owned the inn. And then it depends which angle you're standing on, who said who hit whom first, and so on. So monstrous. What do you think? That was the St. Scholastica's Day riot. And there's even a bit of doggerel about it. On homes, the cowards launch attacks with hack, with hatchet, and with axe. Outside, they set their fires alight. The brave defend their doors and fight. So I remember even in my time, relations between town and gown were not always amicable, but it wasn't quite as that. Nobody was killed. So the university had law enforcement powers until about the year 2000, had the university police in the 20th century, and they really were police. They didn't look like ordinary police officers. And they even had their own prison until the early 20th century. And they even had the power to impose the death penalty in the university's courts at one stage. And as recently as the 19th century, actually hanged someone in public. And around the back of the old the town hall, that is where the former prison was. It's sort of underground now. You can see in Latin, it says, having been punished, learn the rules. All right. Thanks for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon. Don't PayPal, georgecallan79@gmail.com. Goodbye.